Kansas City Sports, Fesco and Dusty. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, our executive producer. A college football weekend to be had this weekend. Boy, it was kind of depressing if you were a KU fan.
Well, yeah, right? They didn't show up.
4-point favorites on the road to Illinois and lost.
No offense of which to speak in that game.
And then Missouri has the first time in its franchise history or its school history, I guess it can't be a franchise, back-to-back weeks of shutouts. Now, I know they played Murray State and Buffalo.
But so what? You can only play the teams on your schedule, right?
They still shut the two teams out.
Yeah.
Now I believe they'll play Boston College.
Ooh.
So it gets a little more tough for those Missouri Tigers.
Doug Flutie ain't walking through that door.
And K-State handled Toledo.
Well,
but like
they had to win it at the end, you know?
Was it Toledo?
No,
it was
Tulane.
Tulane. Yeah, one of those twos.
They got lucky.
They did get lucky in that game. Yeah, no, they got lucky in that game.
Where they have a sack, strip, fumble, a scoop and score?
Something like that. But, you know, you got a Tulane team that is good every year, apparently. They challenge K-State every year. This is the second year in a row now they played this team. And I think last year Tulane beat them and K-State went down there and kind of returned the favor and was able to hold on at the end and get a pick in the end zone or whatever it was to finish off that game.
Yeah, but two calls go in their favor at the end of that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. So K-State's lucky to win that game. KU, I'm not sure what happened in that game against Illinois. Maybe it's time for a little bit of humble pie, though, for Kansas, because I get the vibe. And you know, like, everybody knows I went there, but it doesn't mean I'm like some sort of apologist. I'm an Ohio State fan, as we pointed out. good for KU to have a little humble pie for their football program, because I think they were kind of walking around like they had arrived, right? Like, you haven't arrived yet. You've been a nice football program for the last couple of years. That was a gut punch to lose that game to Illinois. And I was thinking about that game as I was watching it. Like, KU is the one school, though, that like everybody kind of, I don't want to say cares about, but definitely weighs in on. Like, Missouri fans love when Kansas loses. K-State loves when Kansas loses. And Kansas fans melt down like it's nobody else when Kansas loses, which I absolutely love. And I was telling you earlier, I'm out for a run yesterday. I run by my neighbor, Ken, and he goes, "How'd Kansas do yesterday?" Like, he's not a KU fan. I'm like, at 7:30 on Sunday morning, I'm getting taunted out on Indian Creek Trail about the Kansas football game. And that's when I kind of knew, I'm like, all right, we got to talk about this, because Missouri fans are mocking Kansas. Kansas State fans are going, "See, you guys thought you were the best in the state. You're still not even the best in the state of Kansas." And then Kansas fans are sucking their thumb in a corner, rocking back and forth, figuring out, you know, how this thing kind of got off the reels. But I mean, you can't go to Illinois if you're going to be a college football playoff team.
No, they're done.
And lose. Yeah. I mean, and especially if you took, what is it, 8.5 was the over under on that, right?
So
you needed 9 wins. Is Kansas now going to get 8 more wins if you took the over?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Close.
I mean, yeah, the college football playoff dream is done.
Done. Has to be. That's a bad loss.
Oh, it's on the road.
Yeah.
So that's
still a bad loss.
And we'll see what Illinois does.
I mean, their coach looks like Butthead. Or is it Beavis? One or the other?
I don't know. They're pretty drastically different. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't think when we looked at the season, I think the expectations for Kansas to have its best season since the Orange Bowl. That doesn't necessarily mean to me they need to have, like, and when I say best season, not just 6 wins, not like 7, but go out there and win like 8 or 9 wins. Go 9-3 or 8-4, whatever it is. Make yourself a solidified bowl game that's going to be played, you know, past December 25th.
Right.
And
they got UNLV this weekend at the soccer stadium.
Yeah,
so you got to get a win there.
And, you know, maybe Jalen Daniels, maybe he isn't as good as we might have thought he was.
Well, I mean, this guy, for 3 years, we've been told he's supposed to be good. He never finishes out a season, and their backups have always been really good. So it was supposed to be their calling card to be good on offense, right? Boy, did they get exposed against Illinois. Is there a blueprint? Nobody cares if there's a blueprint to beat Kansas, but I just think it's funny that, like, everybody pays attention to what Kansas is doing, no matter what fan base you are, because you're either mocking or you're crying in a corner.
I think the other thing that we realized about college football Sunday or Saturday, and I'll be honest, like we said, we like it more when we're wrong. And I hate to say this because it made me like the villain in our group text. I don't know why I'm the villain, because I root for somebody that I enjoy the hype. But Colorado is the most hated team in football.
Oh, no doubt.
Pros or college.
Right.
Pros or cons?
And that is a fact. They did like the Twitter hot zones. Yeah, like everybody hates Colorado.
And the two things that I noticed about this week with Colorado is maybe the hype is done.
The hype is over.
I think it. I think the pizzazz. Because look, I went into this year thinking, and I still will rock my Buffalo sweatshirt every Saturday. I promise you, I wore it this Saturday. I'll wear it again. I still root for them.
Well, it's getting crisp and cool out now.
But I'm also being a realist, which is what I need to be for this job. And that is Colorado. The hype is over. Look, last
year. Have we met? You want to be a realist?
Last year when the team was making its surprise and their over-under win was 3.5 and they ended up winning 4 games or whatever it was. And it was like, okay, well, then maybe they've found out what they need to grab a hold of and go recruit that. Well, Dion, you had an entire year, and your offensive line is still terrible.
Terrible.
There's clearly division in that locker room between the stars of the team, because I remember Shador Sanders basically just called out his offensive line when they were asking if, Raiola got touched. He was how many times did Raiola get touched? The guy's like, I'm sorry? He's like, how many times did Raiola get touched? He's like, that's not my question. How many times did Raiola get touched? He's like,
you mean Bizarro Patrick?
And we'll get to that, too. And it's, like, weird because Shador was basically the leader of this team, who wears an L because Dion has captains, leaders, and dogs. Which, that's how he labels them.
I mean, putting an L on somebody's jersey, though, come on. I mean, put like the shape of an L on your forehead. Like, we all know the lyrics here.
You're the quarterback. You're the face. You're the voice. You got clown in that Nebraska locker room. Then you double down and threw your offensive line under the bus, who, by the way, Shador, I don't know if you know this or not, they protect you in games.
Well, they don't really do that, but they're supposed to.
But, yeah. I mean, that's their job, and they haven't been doing it. But now, try to motivate me now.
But Dion called him out too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the coach and the son him out, right?
To me, that screams division.
Yep. Yeah, and, of course it is. Did you really need that, though, to know that locker room was divided? But I'll be honest with you guys.
I don't think it was before, but I think it is now, because I think something that lasts too long becomes annoying, and then people start to break away, and they start their small groups, and then there's like, okay, well, there's these 5 guys, and, you know, the 2 guys that love each other, and then there's their little circle, and then it's everybody else, and eventually it's like, yeah, screw this.
Yeah, we're not part of this. Like, you're either part of the haves or have-nots. But the one thing that I realized over the weekend now with Colorado, and I hate to say this as well, but it's the truth, they're boring. They're just not – there's the pizzazz with Dion, that's gone. They are a boring football team right now to watch. It's like – it's watching a really, really, really bad 80s sitcom where you're just kind of cringing and you're turning away knowing that, you know, the 2 high school kids are going to kiss for the first time. You're like, this is really awkward. That's kind of where Colorado football is right now. It's very awkward and bad to watch. And you're like, they're not must-see TV anymore. And I know they play Colorado State this weekend and people get excited for that interstate matchup or whatever. But Colorado's going to have to start winning to bring me back to the table for Colorado. They're just not an interesting team at all right now. They're a bad football team. It's a bad product out there. And if Dion wasn't the coach, nobody would be talking about Colorado. And I don't know that they're any better as a program. They are money-wise, and the university's doing well since Dion been there. But from a pure football standpoint, they're the same type of Colorado team we've seen for the last 15 to 20 years, and that's a school that can't get out of its own way.
Welcome to the party, guys.
Yep. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Dusty and I wanted it because it's fun, right?
Yeah, no,
like
it's
fun. Dion's fun. He's good for the sport. Like I watched this 45-minute interview with an agent that Dion has and somebody that does bookings and stuff for him, and about all this stuff about how great Dion is. Like, you're just rooting for Dion to be good, but this product he's putting out there is as bad as you've seen.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk to our guy, Derek Johnson. Plus, we'll get into what Tom Brady looked like as an announcer. I should say sounded like, because he looked great. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to a Monday morning. Looks gorgeous. I haven't had the AC on in 5 or 6 days.
So you're inside with no AC on right
Windows
now?
Windows open.
Even with the allergies?
Yeah, I take medicine for that.
Because I can't get Jen to figure out how to get past these allergies, right? She's like, ah, nothing works and all this stuff, and I want the windows open.
Oh, man, it's 50 degrees at night.
To air out the joint, you know, and the smell and whatnot. And so yeah. I'm like, let's go. Open the window. She's like, I can't. She's got these terrible, what do you take?
Zyrtec.
That's what I told her to take. Mm-hmm. And she's like, eh, every once in a while it works or whatnot. So if anybody has like a witch hazel cocktail that they can, you know, like with lavender
and bird seed
or something.
I also have a diffuser next to my bed that helps. I use either lavender or eucalyptus.
I use the lavender for the diffuser too.
And that gets you to rest.
It does, yeah. It's a good sleeping mechanism.
But as you know, you've got to take allergy medicine. Like, you have to do it
always,
all the time.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, it's wintertime, I don't have them. It's like, no, Jen, you have to keep doing it or it's going to get you off of it.
So you take allergy medication 365.
Yeah. Every day I wake up,
but doesn't
baby.
Your body eventually become immune to
Hopefully.
To that, though?
I'd like
where
to
it doesn't
so.
Work anymore and then you have to take something else, you know?
I don't know.
Like when you start drinking like one beer and you're done, right? Remember, their first six-pack. You didn't get through that, right?
I don't remember my first six-pack.
And then the older you get, you start the six-pack is a shower beer
sure.
now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your body eventually just develops that immunity to it. It doesn't do that for you with the Zyrtec because I'm trying to get her to get out. Because yesterday was such a nice day. She's like, I got to stay inside. I'm like, but we don't need to be running the air conditioning.
She could also go get a shot, too.
That's what I suggested yesterday, an allergy shot.
My mom used to give me one all the time.
Does it work?
It did.
It did?
It's like a steroid. So, it better work.
And
I was hitting the golf ball, I don't know, urgent care. I don't know, your physician.
You got somebody on, like out back?
Anyways. Tom Brady made his debut. I was a little bit worried about it because I was watching the Fox pregame show and they had him on to ask him what he was. And it was very like he hadn't. And it was minute things. It was like he didn't understand there was a delay. Like there's a little bit of a pause. So it was like, yeah, guys, he seemed very stiff. He mm-hmm. seemed very, you know, non-relaxed, which I could only imagine. He's getting ready to do a primetime game where everybody's going to be watching, and it's a different sort of it's out of his comfort zone, right? It's different than you being like, it'd be like you doing radio. You can wake up and do that every day of your life. But if somebody's like, hey, by the way, they're going to have this show on everywhere. Like, it's going to be a nationally syndicated show just for today. You'd be like, it's a little different.
Maybe a little bit different.
There's
yeah.
a little bit of that in your back of your head. But
did you think Fox tried to make him like promote him more than you've ever seen before? Because he was on with Joel Klatt in the college game. Like, I think Fox was trying to do their best to put Tom Brady over on everybody to show you that he's going to be good at this job. And they've utilized him in so many different roles this past weekend. Pre-game shows, in-game stuff, like promoting that game. I thought he was like, I didn't really notice Tom Brady yesterday. And the game was bad, so it wasn't like a lot of people were paying attention. Then as soon as the game started, my neighbor started mowing, so I missed the first 5 minutes because I couldn't hear. But what did you think overall? Like, I just thought he was just another guy. I didn't think there was anything special.
For me, it was tough because yesterday was dedicated all towards red zone. Now, if he does a game with the Chiefs and it's a 325 game,
which is next week.
Right. Is it? I thought no.
I'm sorry. No, it's San Francisco. I'm thinking of Romo.
Yeah, as I say, next week is Romo and Nance.
Yeah.
Look out, Jim! But I think that when I'm able to actually sit there and watch, now I could hear a little bit of him, which was interesting because like his voice to me is distinct because I can just pick out Tom Brady's voice because we've heard it so much. But like when they would cut to the game and they'd do, he was just saying the right thing. Like here, I think it was the Brandon Cooks touchdown that he caught like wide open. And Brady was like, he just basically described the coverage and why it worked. He's like, here's what happened. Somebody gave up as a safety in the Cleveland secondary. Dak saw it. Good throw. Cooks made the catch. It's a touchdown Dallas. I'm like, that seemed natural.
Right.
I was fine with that. That seemed like it was, you know, just secondhand news for Tom Brady. But again, I won't really have like a full score because like yesterday was like the perfect day for red zone because the Chiefs played Thursday.
Yeah.
You had the entire Sunday. I mean, I was watching the countdown right for it to start.
I was too.
Then once it started, it was like the channel didn't change except for Royals look-ins. Mm-hmm. And even that was, you know, one or two times because I had it on my phone. And so I don't know what his actual grade I would give him, but from what I heard, which was a very small sample size, it seemed fine.
It seemed fine, and that's okay for a broadcaster.
Greg Olsen still sounded better.
And you know what? I turned on the other game that Romo was doing. I'm like, man, I miss Tony. I had a Tony Romo moment. Like, he didn't sound too bad. Maybe he'll step up his game this year because he knows everybody's talking about Tom Brady, and he needs to step up his game, Tony Romo does, because I think he's kind of gone progressively downhill since he got that job. But I think sometimes you walk away from a game going, man, that announcer was terrible, as we talked about. Colt McCoy was awful in that game on Saturday night. I walk away from that Tom Brady game going, it was fine, and which is okay. So you don't need to have the announcer dominate over a game, especially in a game that's 33-10 or whatever that final ended up being, 33-17 for Cleveland. But it was a blowout for the entire time. So I thought Tom was okay. We'll see as time moves on how he's going to be and how he's going to develop as a broadcaster. But I just walk away going, it was all right, nothing, fine, whatever.
Yeah. We are getting ready to be joined by our guy, Mr. Derek Johnson, as he is on the show here for the first time in the new season. So here we go, Mr. Derek Johnson. We have an intro for him. Let's play it and get him on the show.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle-tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome into the show, Mr. Derek Johnson. Glad to hear from you on a new season here on Fesco and Dusty. How was the off season, and then obviously the drama that started yesterday with your passion, the NFL?
Oh man, I tell you what, being able to have the expectations of having another great year. Everybody's talk about three-peat, first time ever. The Chiefs just, man, they were working their tails off to just live up to the hype. Up to the hype. They came out polished, first game of the year, playing against a team that I think is really, really, really good. I think they're probably the second best team now in the league. But hats off to Chiefs and Pat and Andy Reid for just making it happen, man. First game of the year. Just expectations were high, but they made us proud.
They really did. Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invest in you and the sheet metal workers, local number 2. And DJ, I think, you know, kind of sitting around watching the games yesterday, you and I were texting, and I think the Chiefs by far, head and shoulders, the best team in the AFC. And I think we also saw yesterday, Baltimore may not be just the second best team in the AFC. They may be the second best team in the NFL right now. And looking at that win on Thursday night, you're like, man, the Chiefs got a big win over a really good opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know what Lamar Jackson and what comes with him, and just how hard it is to stop him, and for us to contain him like we did and bottle him up. Chris Jones definitely helped. But I tell you what, man, it's just, man, we're just reloading. That's just what we're doing. We're reloading. We look better on paper. This year, we came out fast. The receiving corps is out of this world. Still haven't played with Hollywood Brown yet. So, I mean, when he comes on deck, we're going to have just more firepower. And Spags is continuing to make it exotic and blitz people, show different coverages. But, man, more people on the back end, DB-wise, from what I've seen on Thursday, man, we're coaching them tough. We are coaching them tough. Everybody next man up, even though we don't have Snead anymore, which is a little bit of a problem, but not right now.
Talk with Derek Johnson here on 96.5 The Fan. And, you know, nobody's been under that pressure of doing the back-to-back Super Bowls since, like, the Cowboys in the early 90s. You know, like, nobody really remembers the last time you truly had an opportunity to three-peat and do something like this. And to come out and look as good as they did, and to watch the rest of the league look kind of meh in that first week of the season. Like, what does that say about the Chiefs? They look like they're in midseason form. The rest of the league looks like they're still trying to figure out the preseason.
They're focused. They're very focused. And that's a credit to the coaching staff, man, to get these high-quality guys all on the same page and to have that chemistry. Again, I've always said this, football is the ultimate team sport. So a lot of things have to go right for you to have success. And a lot of things go right for the Chiefs. And they have this formula down. And whoever comes in, if you're a new acquisition during the offseason, you fit, you know, they make you make sure that you get acclimated early and often and how they do things. And they have a standard of playing Chief ball on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball. So right now we're a dangerous team. And don't get me wrong, of course it wasn't perfect. And, you know, you don't want to peak right now. That does nothing for you. But I tell you what, it's good to start fast.
Not only that, DJ, but there's a chance just by watching the first week of the season that this could be a very productive year for one Patrick Mahomes. Might be the best offense he's had or the best he's had since 2018. I mean, Hollywood Brown, you mentioned, didn't even play yet. Rashee Rice looks like the real deal. Xavier Worthy looks like a splash in a draft. Plus Isaiah Pacheco and a guy in Travis Kelce that's finally like, you know what? I don't got to be the only guy on this offense. I can relax, and we can be successful if I just catch the ball 3 to 4 times. So maybe another MVP season for Mahomes on route to this three-peat, or maybe there's just not enough things you can't say about Patrick Mahomes.
It is, and it's just it's every week and every year we're like, oh, he does it again, and it's every single week, man. He's very consistent at being this really, really great quarterback that commands his team and just efficient as heck, man. Some of those throws, I'm like, golly, like he doesn't have much room. Many quarterbacks can't make that throw. You know, Rashee Rice, man, he's coming into his own. He had a lot of success last year as a rookie, being able to come back and just be sure-handed and be, I mean, he could do it all. I mean, catch the deep ball, comebacks, go across the middle. He can do it all. He's a tough guy. He's fast. I can't say enough about him being that kind of that number one guy for us right now. And that's not any knock to Travis Kelce. Like we said, Travis, like, hey, I'm gonna do some
play at Texas that he was going to be this good in the NFL. I mean, that first, you know, jet sweep that he had for that touchdown, like, I don't think dudes were out of their 3-point stance and that guy was in the end zone. That's how fast he was.
Right. So he has the potential to be good. Obviously, running the 4.21, you know that, and he's highly decorated coming from University of Texas. But honestly, you don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of rookies start slow. I wouldn't be surprised if he started slow. But that's not the case when you're playing with Patrick Mahomes. When you're open. You're open. Like he even said, I guess that last touchdown he had when he was on Humphrey, where he released outside, and he just looked back. He was thinking, oh man, I'm probably going to be open. And as soon as he said that, the ball's to him. So that's the one thing in NFL that I love, that especially when you got players like Patrick Mahomes, when you're open or when the defense messes up, the quarterback sees it and the offense takes advantage of it. So we are so like excited to have all this firepower on this Chiefs receiving core.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, but you know, there's also a defensive side of the game where Chris Jones looks like he hasn't missed a beat in his gameplay. And also I want to go where you are really, really familiar with. What did you see from Nick Bolton in that first game? Was it just Isaiah Likely was just that dude that night, and you've had games where there's guys that just they're that guy on the field, or was there, you know, something that was a little off in there?
By the way, it's hard to and Likely is a guy now. He's pretty good, but a young guy that's, you know, up and coming. It's one of those things where we're not far off. You know, it's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think it is. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things you have to figure out how to shut a tight end or a certain play down. And there were times where Nick's eyes were bad or his technique wasn't quite on par. And they would take advantage of it at times. But trust me, I got plenty of confidence in Nick Bolton. Trust me. You talk about I call him ATM, automatic tackling machine. But I tell you what, Drew Tranquil, our defense is going to be really solid again this year. So I can't wait for just throughout the season, just the ups and downs of everything. And trust me, Nick is good.
Before we give your Longhorns a little flowers for their performance over the weekend, man, Cincinnati stunk up the joint. Maybe the worst loss of the weekend. Maybe Atlanta's the worst loss of the weekend. I don't know. But let Cincinnati's coming in here on Sunday. They look like they were totally lost in that game against New England. What did you see from them?
Yeah, just out of sync and chemistry wise, like I said, it's one thing to have expectations and people expecting you to be a certain way and you come out and it's not that way. That happens, especially early in the year. They will play better. I don't know how much better, Chiefs, we play a standard of football that's pretty branded right now, and we that win, regardless of if it was an inch or not, I tell you what, that it's confidence when you win and you make a habit of winning. And that's just giving the Chiefs more firepower to just have more confidence. And we're just going to be even more dangerous going down the stretch.
How legit are the Longhorns this year going up to the Big House and slaughtering Michigan like they did?
Yeah, I mean, Texas is doing awesome. I know it's not a lot of Texas fans in the Midwest, but down here in Longhorn Nation, it is everybody's excited, and Sark he's got a few players on his team that are a little bit better than everybody else, and it's working.
Is Quinn Ewers a legit NFL quarterback? We were kind of talking in break, like, who are the top quarterbacks in college football that Carolina could draft, number one, because they stink. Is Quinn Ewers that guy?
Quinn is that guy. Right now he is. And, you know, it's a long season. Everybody knows about his talent and how he can throw across his body and do all this extra skillful things with the ball. But for him to stay healthy, that was a big deal. Can he stay healthy? Because he hasn't the last 2 years throughout the year. So if he can stay healthy, maybe he can assure a team like, hey, I can be that franchise quarterback. But that's the question for Quinn, not the talent, but can he stay healthy and be durable throughout the year?
DJ, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the Bengal game. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, y'all take it easy.
Take care. That's Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all. Invest in you and the Sheet Metal Workers Local number 2. And it's got to be Quinn Ewers right now in college football, because if it isn't, then there's nobody at the quarterback position that I'm quite sold on. Now it's only 2-3 weeks into the season, so we'll figure all that out. I'm glad it's a problem we don't have to worry about here in Kansas City, too, like who that quarterback is, because there's going to be a lot of teams I think are going to need a quarterback after what we saw in week 1 of this NFL season. But he also talked about, you know, kind of the Bengals being in disarray already, man. Like, we're already, you know, 1 week into this season, and the Cincinnati Bengals may be a hot mess. I can't wait to come in here on Monday morning next and talk about how they whooped that ass at Arrowhead on Sunday.
Mm. Do you feel more confident than you already were, or the same level of confidence going into that Cincinnati game?
Going into that game right now, I feel a lot more confident going into that Cincinnati game. Boy, they didn't show. I mean, you lost to New England, dude. Like, how do you lose to New England in week 1 like that?
At home,
wearing your all orange, man. You look good, but boy, they did not play good.
Like,
at
I think
all.
If you were to pull every Cincinnati fan 2 weeks ago, even with the Jamar Chase and T. Higgins sort of thing, which Higgins was fine. He just got the hamstring injury, which is, have fun with that all year.
Right.
But, like, I think if you were to pull every Cincinnati, because I remember even talking to Drew Nixon, and I said, you may not have Jamar Chase. He goes, it won't matter. We're playing the Patriots. Can't wait to see.
Well, you can't say that in the NFL anymore. You just can't.
You
like,
can if you say
maybe
it's
Carolina.
Right. Like, well,
but like, the minute you get into that mindset, that's when you lose a game.
I can promise you right now, and I've got to do some research on when that game is, but I think it is in December. Maybe it's a little bit before that. But when the Chiefs play Carolina, I'll be playing golf. I don't need to watch that game. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the New England game. Well, I recorded it. But, like, I don't need to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play the Carolina Panthers. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game will be over. Let's see. They play them on Sunday, November 24th.
Okay.
So they play them, what is that, the weekend before Thanksgiving?
Weekend before Thanksgiving.
That'll be a random, like, 54-degree day on a Sunday, and a lot of people will stay home and still watch that game at noon. I will record it. I will go play golf. I'll tee off at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll be done by 11:30. I'll probably still be able to watch.
Probably still be able to watch it live.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, probably still. But, I mean, look, that is a bad football team, and the Chiefs now are playing a team that lost to New England that probably went into that New England game. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. We got the Chiefs in week two. Let's just get through New England and get to the Chiefs in week two. Well, you didn't get through New England, and now all of a sudden you got an AFC loss at home. You're fighting uphill against the Chiefs team that, in my opinion, is clearly head and shoulders better than anybody else in the NFL.
And probably going to be 5-0 going into their break.
Yep.
To their bye, which is super early. We get back into what was a Royals weekend and what is a set in stone thing that you just needed to believe it before you go into this Yankees series tonight. Vern's pregame show will start at 5 o'clock here on 610.
Oh, God. Jeez.
On 96.5
The Fan. Somebody said to me, we need a swear jar every time we say 610.
I'm not mad about it.
You like that?
I'm not mad about it. We should get dinged a dollar, and then at the end of the month, we just put that dollar towards a good foundation.
Yeah, we can do that.
Or maybe,
maybe towards beer or whatever.
That could work, too. Yeah, that's good. Either way you want to look at it. But, yeah, Vern's pregame show at 5 o'clock tonight here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, did you know that you can now use your own body's healing properties to revitalize your achy joints and get you real lasting pain relief? I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics. So if you're tired of arthritis pain in your knees, your hips, your back, or your shoulder, this is something you need to check out. Everybody's talking about regenerative medicine, and the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics are experts in these amazing treatments. People here rave about their results. You can enhance your joints, improve your mobility, and get back to doing the stuff you love without the pain and without drugs or surgery or downtime. Under the leadership of medical director Dr. Mitchell Scheinkup, QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting breakthrough using cellular therapies, and they've got tens of thousands of satisfied patients, and the consultation is totally free. So call them now and take action to get lasting joint pain relief with help from QC Kinetics. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Welcome back into what is a program we like to call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I just cannot get over this Tyreek Hill look that he decided to go with on the first
game. Great look. Yeah, great look.
Interesting shirt choice. Steel metal choker, white tank top. I think it has another name for it, but I'm afraid to say it on the air. Interesting. We can dive into that a little bit more later on.
Shirt over top of that?
No, not a chance, man. We go back to the Royals because of what one thing, well.
Here's the pitch. Bounce softly back up the middle. Witt scoops it up, races to second, steps in the back, sling to first, in time, he got him. A beautiful double play from Bobby Witt Jr.
I say this because Vern, who will join us a little bit later on in this program today on a Monday morning, it looks gorgeous outside.
Beautiful day. Get outside and enjoy it.
No doubt. 51 degrees, high of 85. But no, Vern has told us all along that there is the recipe that's going to make the Royals successful. That is starting pitching or pitching in general, defense and team speed. And maybe they're not the most flashiest team. You'll see that tonight with the pinstripes of Stanton and Judge and Soto and all those guys over there.
What a middle of the lineup.
I mean, it's pretty nuts. And then you can throw in like other guys in there like Rizzo and guys you wouldn't think. But I thought the most interesting takeaway from this weekend is that you now know who your three guys are in your playoff rotation. It is no doubt Lugo and Reagans and Waka. Your rotation is set. And they'll take two of those three guys into this series against the Yankees, as it'll be Brady Singer, Seth Lugo, and Colt Reagans to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, look, it's no easy slate against the Yankees. They are the Yankees, right? They've got Rodon pitching tonight. Mm-hmm. They have, what's his name? Stroman tomorrow night, and then Gill on Wednesday. But, I mean, again, this is what it's going to look like in a month from now. The Royals are a playoff team, whether you want to believe it or not. They have too big of a lead with not enough games left.
They're a playoff team.
There's only 18 games left.
I mean, if they don't make it now you're talking about an epic collapse.
That means you've lost every game. Yeah, that or you lost 16 of your last 18.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
And you'll start to see the magic number to the playoffs, and then we'll have the great day where we get to go back and relish in the moment of what was 10 years ago, their first playoff berth in 30 years, and then we get to be like, hey, you know what's funny is 10 years ago today, they're also in the playoffs.
That's right.
We get to have fun with that along, but also you get to realize that this team is a playoff team, and the reason they've gotten there is pitching, defense, speed. Bobby Witt Jr. up the middle. Now you've added Tommy Pham. I mean, Paul DeJong has been great at third. Salvador Perez, Freddie Fermin, all that to be said.
I like Freddie Fermin. That guy, he's a nice player, man. That guy's a really nice player. But also what this team does, and I think one of the most important things that you kind of left out there that I'll say, hitting with runners in scoring position. I mean, they have the highest average in baseball with runners in scoring position. When somebody gets on, they get them in. And most teams in baseball aren't doing that. The Royals are great when it comes to timely hitting right now. And the other thing that they're doing, and you give Q a lot of credit for this, is that they're still playing with that fire. It would have been very easy after losing seven straight without Vinny to kind of cash this thing in. But they found a way to salvage that last game against Cleveland, then, of course, took care of Minnesota over these last three games. They've now won four in a row. That seven-game losing streak is a distant memory, you know, in the past because of what's happened recently. And so I think you give the manager a little bit of credit for having this team still playing really good baseball, because I look at the rest of baseball right now, and you can definitely see these teams have cashed it in. I think there are three or four teams maybe right now still playing in the American League. It's the Royals, it's the Yankees, it's Houston, and probably Baltimore. I don't know if Cleveland necessarily cares anymore. I don't believe Minnesota cares anymore. Mm-hmm. Detroit's still trying to stay alive and fight for relevancy, and they may overtake Minnesota and get that final wild card spot. But the Royals are in a great spot because they're still playing really good baseball right now. They're still playing inspired baseball, and that's a tribute to the manager, because most of baseball right now is cashed it in, and they're talking about Cabo, and they're looking about other things that are going on, their fantasy football teams or whatever the case may be.
Tommy Pham.
And, yeah, right.
That story.
And then the Royals got their situation where they're fighting for a playoff berth, and they're starting to play good baseball right now. So I love what they're doing. It's great. Now go to New York, and you're going to have a playoff atmosphere for the next 3 days. This is as playoff baseball as it gets, and you have an opportunity to show you're ready for the postseason.
Correct. And this is what? This is the final three of the 20-game gauntlet?
Yeah.
And then after that, you get Pittsburgh, you get Detroit, you can bury the Tigers, you get the Giants, the Nationals, and the Braves.
Right.
So
this is it. This is three games left against teams that are still playing some really good ball. You mentioned Pittsburgh, or not Pittsburgh, but Detroit. We'll find out in a week where we are.
Yep.
You know, with Detroit right now, like, they're playing some good baseball at the moment, but will there be staying power? Will they move into a spot where they're, you know, still challenging for a postseason berth? I don't know the answer to that question. So we'll know more in obviously a week where Detroit stands right now. But we will get Paul Skenes, because he's pitching tonight against the Marlins. So we will see Paul Skenes at some point.
He's on a pitch count. It's not the same schemes.
Right. He's 9-2 with a 2.13 ERA.
Rookie of the year. Yeah. Even though Chris Sale, though, is going to win. He's going to win the Cy Young. But no, the other thing, too, is there's only six games left at home.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that might have gone unnoticed, and I thought it was interesting to hear Contreras' comments after the game on Saturday. I saw this from Annie Rogers, and he said that they made it be known that that's the loudest that stadium has sounded all year. There was, I believe, 29,100 in attendance on Saturday night's game. That felt like a playoff atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It looked the part. It sounded the part. I believe that game was on Fox.
On Saturday, I believe
that game was on Fox. And with a loaded like college football schedule, whether you wanted to believe it or not, because you had Mizzou, I think I streamed them on whatever it was on. I had Kansas on as well. You had the Royals on, and then Colorado, Nebraska. Like, I was finding myself going to that Royals game, and the first thing that I took away was, it's blue. it's a lot of blue because it was a night game on a Saturday where the temperatures
packed. Were packed.
And it was 29,000 people. Look great. 29,100.
It was awesome, man.
So for those people that take their takes on, you know, and say, oh, attendance is down. Let's see what it looks like on a Saturday night, not a Tuesday.
Not a Tuesday.
Evening.
Like, if you're wasting your time talking about what's happening Tuesday at the ballpark, you're missing the entire boat of this thing. The place was packed on Labor Day, which was a holiday. Everybody went out there. Yeah, you had your Tuesday, Wednesday games because it's Tuesday and Wednesday. And then this weekend was great. I mean, Saturday looked like a party at the ballpark.
Amazing.
Saturday,
right?
There was 29,100. Yeah. Yesterday, there was 26,400.
Which is a great crowd on a Sunday afternoon with the NFL going on at the beginning of the season.
Now, the Chiefs didn't play.
But still, 26,000 on a Sunday. Yeah, it's opening weekend of the NFL. You know, like, again, people have their spend already in place for the year. Now, people that are going to these games are taking money from somewhere else and spending it on the Royals. They're saying, all right, we're not going to go to the movies, or we're not going to go to this, or we're not going to go to that. We're going to use that money and we're going to go out to the Royals. So to have this bump in attendance late in the season, like, I hate when people complain about attendance. When people complain about attendance at a baseball game on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, it shows me they're kind of out of touch with life and reality. And I look at myself as the average sports fan. Okay. I'm 47 years old. Mm-hmm. I got two kids, one in high school, one in eighth grade. I'll tell you what, we look at our schedule every week on a Sunday and we go, man, we have no time to take a dump. You're like, because you're so busy with the kids doing their thing and you doing your thing and you doing life and whatever the case may be. The fact that we're getting these crowds to be big on the weekend shows that people are now prioritizing the Royals when they have that opportunity to do so. A lot of times during the week, as a parent with kids, you don't have that kind of time. And so for people to prioritize it on the weekend and make sure that they're getting out there on the weekend, that's a great thing. And that's what you want to see. Tuesday and Wednesday crowds all over baseball stink. That's why I never thought they should play Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday games, because the attendance are down. You're in the middle of the week. You're doing some other things. But the Royals have an opportunity against the Yankees to show that they belong. But they also have an opportunity to maintain, Dusty, because Baltimore is playing Boston, who stinks. The Twins get Anaheim, who stink. The White Sox and Cleveland are doing battle. They stink. And then what's Detroit got? They got Colorado visiting them. So all of the teams that are in that boat with you that are chasing you have teams that have long checked out. So if the Royals go out there and they take care of business this week, then you can stop wondering whether or not they're a playoff team. This is a playoff team. Playoff type games are going to be out there tonight, tomorrow, and the next day in New York, and we'll see what they have. Meanwhile, the other teams that are competing with the Royals are playing a bunch of slappies. So you've got to win just to maintain this week too.
Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Vern coming in about 30 minutes on this show. But coming up next, there was a halftime announcement, a new kickoff rule that consistently sucks, and another good question from Bob Fesco over the weekend. Also, look up the White Sox record versus the Cleveland Guardians this year. You might be surprised.
No, it's good.
Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.